Here it is!
From deep inside your radio.
Don't tase me, NPR. We went into the red. Ladies and gentlemen, from New Orleans, Louisiana, one more time. I have to say, I want to thank, first of all the folks at the Brooklyn Academy of Music, or as Emeril Lagasse calls it, BAM, for a wonderful showing of The Big Uneasy last Wednesday night. Great Q&A, great. Sounded great. The film sounded great, looked great. Thank you, BAM. And Brooklyn. Who knew? I know. I'm the last person to figure out Brooklyn. It's not Manhattan. No, it sure isn't. I was there a while ago. You'll read about it in my book. Like, that's going to happen. And Dick Cavett, just a word, any of my copyrighted features that you'd like to steal and write an op-ed on for the New York Times, just feel free, babe. Copyrighted means nothing. Last week, this is, you know, as you may know if you've been following my little messages at the beginning of the broadcast about where the show is originating, I've been all over the place. Last week, I was in Edinburgh, which was cold and wet and rainy and blistery. March, kind of. And now I'm in New Orleans, where it's different. But there's one thing that one can miss about it. I mean, the people in Edinburgh are wonderfully friendly, and it's a great city. But it's a city of hills. And, you know, they have these wonderful vistas from the hilltops or from the bottom looking up, bottom of the hills. And, you know, you come to a city that's flat, and you miss it for a little while until you realize, man, it's New Orleans. The potholes here are so deep, you get spectacular views when you're in them. Just beautiful. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, what's up with the Army Corps of Engineers, you didn't ask? Well, they need at least a month to fix the bid process. Now, this is a bid process that was rejected by the Government Accountability Office because it was fixed. But they're going to fix the fixing. They're fixing to fix the fixing. That's why it's going to take a month. This is the process on its $700 million contract to build new permanent pumps to replace the once permanent pumps that turned out to be temporary because they don't work. So as a result, construction will be delayed by as long as a year, meaning that the pumps, which the Corps says have a usable life of 5 to 7 years, will be in service for 9, 10. Ooh, what do you got? But they say they're fixing them every day, the ones that don't work now. But they work. That's what they say. Anyway, the Corps will determine whether it should accept new or revised bids and focus on fixing both technical and procedural issues raised by that GAO report. But it will create a year's delay. That was the bid, if you weren't listening last week, was rejected because of cronyism. Really? And because the Corps spent less, Corps officials, according to the GAO, spent less than 5 minutes reviewing the technical capability of the winning bidder to do the work. Because technical schmechnical, you know? Also, you know, I will say this, at least the Corps didn't call anything in New Orleans inadequate. They probably should. But Dateline Fort Worth, the Army Corps of Engineers rated most of the levees along Fort Worth's Trinity River floodways unacceptable this week. But it said the levee system is among the best maintained in the country. So, nice work polishing the woodwork on the Titanic, guys. The findings were presented to the county's regional water district, and they reflect more rigorous inspection methods that the Corps adopted after the Katrina flooding. Because inspection is really what we were lacking here. Inspectors found that 8 of the 10 levees in Fort Worth might be unable to withstand the kind of flood that would occur once every 800 years, but could handle a so-called 100-year flood. Of course, in New Orleans, nothing is built to withstand an 800-year thing, but that's okay. Overall, the system remains operational and safe to pass a moderate flood. Completing any necessary identified corrective actions will reduce the overall risk for passing a major extreme flood, says the Corps. Passing means withstanding in Corps speak. The levees were rated unacceptable mostly because trees and other vegetation on them do not comply with national standards. By the way, the one of the two levee boards in New Orleans just found, after a recent rain, big, big logs in the levees that the Corps has built, the new levees the Corps has built to protect the West Bank of New Orleans, which, of course, is east of New Orleans. Big logs, which last time I looked, aren't supposed to be in levees, even according to the Corps. But they're in the Corps' levees because, hey, welcome to the show. From the edge of Lake Pontchartrain, they got a crane up by the pumps today. I don't know what's going on. I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. Conventional poultry farms use antibiotics extensively, ladies and gentlemen, which contributes to the rise of antibiotic-resistant germs. But farms that turn to organic practices, including a ban on antibiotics, can greatly reduce antibiotic-resistant bacteria with only the first year of the change. That's according to a new study in the journal Environmental Health Perspectives. The kid threw it in my sprinkler, so I didn't get my – it's wet. The scientists studied 10 conventional poultry farms and 10 large-scale newly organic poultry farms. They tested for the presence of enterococci I'm sure Anderson Cooper is giggling right now. Microorganisms commonly found in both conventional and organic poultry farms, and they compared the bacteria's resistance to 17 antimicrobacterial antimicrobial medications. Researchers say they were surprised at how quick and precipitous was the fall in resistance once the farms had switched. Just, you know, just a thing. News of the godly, ladies and gentlemen, in the annals of the sexual abuse scandals in the Roman Catholic Church, most of the cases that have come to light happened years ago to children and teenagers who've long since grown into adults. But a painfully fresh case is devastating Catholics in Kansas City, Missouri, where a priest who was arrested in May has been indicted by a federal grand jury on charges of taking indecent photographs of young girls, most recently during an Easter egg hunt just 4 months ago. That, talk about your Easter eggs. Bishop Robert Finn of the Diocese of Kansas City, St. Joe, has acknowledged he knew of the existence of, the photographs last December. Didn't turn them over to the police until May, waiting for them to develop, I mean, the photographs. A civil lawsuit filed last week claims that during these 5 months, the priest, Reverend Sean Radigan, attended children's birthday parties, spent weekends in the homes of families in the parish, hosted the Easter egg hunt, and presided with the bishop's permission at a girl's first communion. All these parishioners just feel so betrayed because we knew nothing, says Tu Meng, whose daughter attended the preschool in Father Radigan's parish, and we were welcoming this guy into our homes, asking him to come bless this or that. They saw all these signs, and they didn't do anything. This bishop is already a polarizing figure in his diocese. Only 3 years ago, Bishop Finn settled lawsuits with 47 plaintiffs in sexual abuse cases for $10 million and agreed to a long list of preventive measures, among them to immediately report anyone suspected of being a pedophile to the cops. There were 19 non-monetary agreements the diocese signed on to, and they didn't do it, says an abuse victim. The bishop has apologized and released a 5-point plan that he described as sweeping changes. So they're going to change the way they... No. He hired an ombudsman. That'll do it. The bishop also replaced the vicar general involved in the case after he was accused of propositioning a young man in 1984. Bishop is trying to induce his diocese to conform with his traditionalist theological views. He's one of the few bishops affiliated with Opus Dei. He canceled a program to train Catholic lay people to be leaders, hired more staff members to recruit candidates for the priesthood. He cut the budget of the Office of Peace and Justice, which focused on poverty, and created a new Respect Life office. Father Radigan was also an outspoken conservative, according to the Kansas City Star. The diocese was first warned about Father Radigan's inappropriate interest in young girls as far back as 2006. There were also more recent warnings. In May 2010, the principal of a Catholic elementary school where Father Radigan worked hand-delivered a letter to the vicar general, reporting specific episodes that had raised alarms. The priest put a girl on his lap during a bus ride and allowed children to reach into his pants pockets for candy. When a brownie troop visited his house, a parent reported finding a pair of girls' panties in a planter. The priest was reported to have said, "I thought it was a panter." No, he did not. I wish he had. I'd like him more. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I thought they were planties. News of the warm, won't you?
Soft, listen to the warm. We can listen to the warm.
Yes, we can, Glenn. We're listening to it. The award-winning News of the Warm, a key glacier in Greenland, is melting faster than previously expected, according to Science Daily, reporting findings by a team of academics from the University of Sheffield. The researchers found that Greenland's longest observed glacier, we call it here in this country, Mittivakat, made two consecutive record losses in mass in 2010 and 2011. It's on a roll. The observations this year indicate, even comparing the mass balance value against simulated such values back to 1898, that this is a record-breaking glacier mass loss year. This particular glacier has been observed for mass balance and fluctuations since 1995 and also since 1931 for front fluctuations. The glacier terminus has retreated about 22 meters, if you're measuring. These observations suggest that recent mass losses of that glacier, which have been driven largely by higher surface temperatures and low precipitation, are representative of the broader region, which includes many hundreds of local glaciers in Greenland. Observations of other glaciers in Greenland show terminus retreats comparable to that of Mitivakat. These glaciers are similar to Mitivakat in size and elevation. Local glacier observations in Greenland are rare. This one is the only glacier in Greenland for which long-term observations of both the surface mass balance and glacier front fluctuations exist. It's clear that this is now a very dynamic environment in terms of the response and mass wastage to ongoing climate change, says the principal investigator. News of the warm, ladies and gentlemen. Copyrighted feature of this broadcast. News of the Dick, Mr. Cavett, if you want to take that one, it's yours. Really. Just plug in. Oh, I shouldn't say that. News of the F-bomb, the new F-bomb, foreclosure. California's attorney general claims a law firm, Kramer and Caslow, is running a foreclosure scam that has suckered, quote, thousands of California homeowners. The state claims the law office and a long list of other defendants prey on desperate consumer homeowners facing foreclosure by selling participation in bogus mass joinder lawsuits and litigation settlements. But, quote, no settlements exist. And in some cases, no lawsuit has ever been filed. Perhaps more interestingly, although not to the producers of Face the Nation, I'll explain that in a moment. You know, ladies and gentlemen, that during the big real estate bubble culminating in 2008, during which somewhat questionable mortgages were packaged into securities, so-called, and sold to investors based on the AAA ratings those securities were given by the three bond rating firms, Standard & Poor's, Fitch, and Moody's. Standard & Poor's has been in the news recently, but now focus on Moody's. An ex-derivatives analyst for Moody's says the credit rating agency intimidated and pressured analysts to issue glowing ratings of those toxic, complex, structured mortgage securities. In a 78-page letter to the Securities and Exchange Commission, good luck with that, they destroy all their documents, according to the New York Times and Rolling Stone this week. William Harrington outlined how the committees that make the ratings decisions are not independent and how managers often intimidated analysts. The management of Moody's and the board of Moody's are squarely responsible for the poor quality of previous Moody's opinions that ushered in the financial crisis, he wrote. The track record of management influence in committees speaks for itself. It produced hollowed-out opinions that were at great odds with the private opinions of committees and which were not durable for even a short period after publication, unquote. He sent the letter last week in response to a 517-page proposal by the SEC on regulations for the credit rating businesses. It raises similar issues already at the heart of a Justice Department investigation into Standard & Poor's. The Moody's spokesman says, "We cannot emphasize strongly enough the importance Moody's places on the quality of our ratings and the integrity of our ratings process." Unquote. Yes, you can. You can emphasize it strongly enough. Try. Just try. So Face the Nation this morning had the chief analyst for Moody's on their program, live, for questioning. Never asked him about this. That's the face of Face. I don't think it's the face of Face of the Nation. It may be the other side. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the apologies of the week. Before Dick Cavett does it.
We're so sorry.
Officials for Austin-based Temple Inland Incorporated apologized this week for a chemical discharge from its Bogalusa, Louisiana paper mill that resulted in a fish kill in the Pearl River. Said it will work to help clean up the spill. You know, the people who caused the spill are the best people to help clean it up. Just ask Rupert Murdoch. But wait, there's more. The company shut down production at the paper mill after tests showed the mill would exceed its allowable daily level for discharge from its wastewater treatment facility. This exceedance, says the company, may have depleted the oxygen level in part of the river below that necessary to sustain a healthy fish population. Bogalusa is about 70 miles north of New Orleans. Media reports have described portions of the Pearl as being filled with black, oily water, with thousands of dead fish floating on the surface. The discharge is being reported as far south as 50 miles and may have entered Lake Pontchartrain, besides which I sit right now. A Fox News panel member on a show called The Five, which replaced Glenn Beck, not that anybody noticed, apologized repeatedly this week for using racially tinged language on the air. The panel was discussing the possibility of Michael Vick, the NFL player who was served some jail time for running a dogfighting operation, now getting a dog. Beckel slipped into a southern twang and explained his view of the type of people who watch dogfighting. Says Beckel, they're consumers of RC Cola and Moon Pies. I'm talking about a bunch of rednecks down in that place where he was running those things. I used to be a redneck, says Beckel. I can talk about rednecks. Later, he apologized. When I talk about rednecks, blacks are rednecks. Whites are rednecks. I was a redneck. Chinamen are rednecks. In the next segment, Beckel apologized again. If I upset anybody, which I do all the time, in particular in the Chinese community, it was a joke. I apologize if I hurt anybody's feelings. And I really mean that, except, well, never mind. He trailed off. Dateline Flagstaff, Arizona, the developer of the Grand Canyon Skywalk, has apologized for comments that a northwestern Arizona tribe says were racist. A spokesman for David Jin was quoted in a Las Vegas magazine as saying the Hualapai tribal leadership is lawless and has an archaic government. Jin says he would never approve of such sentiments and issued a formal apology to Hualapai chairwoman Louise Benson. This came after the tribe twice demanded an apology from him. U.S. Representative Doug Lanborn of Colorado met with black community leaders on Friday and apologized for calling President Obama a tar baby in a recent radio interview. He had already apologized previously to the president. Lanborn's press assistant kicked the reporter out of the meeting at a Baptist church. Lanborn said in a radio interview that he didn't want Republicans to get too cozy with the president. Even if some people say, well, the Republicans should have done this or should have done that, they will hold the president responsible, Lanborn said. Now, I don't even want to be associated with him. It's like touching a tar baby. And you get it. You know you're stuck. You're part of the problem now. So that's his second apology for that. Skincare brand Nivea's popular, looks like you give a damn campaign went awry this week after they released a new print ad that showed a well-groomed, clean-shaven African-American man about to toss away a rubber mask of his earlier self with facial hair and an afro. Over the model, words in giant type read, "Re-civilize yourself." The public outrage over the ad was immediate. Within hours, Nivea has apologized. On its Facebook page, the company wrote, "This ad was inappropriate and offensive. It was never our intention to offend anyone, and for this, we are deeply sorry. This ad will never be used again." It's already appearing in the September issue of Esquire. Nivea runs other variations of the ad, including one that features a white male model and with a rubber head, with no text about re-civilization. That's too much freaking perspective. Dateline, the Bronx. It's no Brooklyn. Perplexed parents listened this week as the chancellor of New York City Public Schools, Dennis Walcott, apologized for what they've been through and promised it would never happen again. What they've been through, my child, said one, would come home continuously talking about headaches. Headaches are known symptoms of exposure to TCE, that's trichloroethylene, the chemical found in the air at the Bronx New School. Well, that's what's new. Now with TCE, the same chemical that has been linked to cancer. But they're sorry. And they're sorry about the cancer if it happens. Dateline Shanghai, the local unit of ConocoPhillips apologized this week for oil spills in China's Bohai Bay, said the cleanup from the leaks is almost complete with minimal impact to the environment. Imagine that. No oil remains on the sea's surface from the leakages. You know, that means you just sprayed some dispersant and it's down below, doesn't it? Really? What? Hello, Conoco? They're not here. New Mexico State Police Chief Robert Schilling has apologized to an Albuquerque Journal photographer who'd been stopped on the freeway, held at gunpoint, and handcuffed by an officer in a case of mistaken identity earlier this week. "He called me personally to apologize," said photographer Adolphe Pierre-Louis said. Sounds vaguely French to me. He said the incident reflects badly on the officers involved and the whole department, including himself. "He was forced to wear handcuffs alongside the freeway for about half an hour," was Pierre-Louis, while officers retrieved a witness who confirmed that he was not the man who pointed a gun at him. An immediate supervisor will review the report and dashboard camera video of the incident, says the New Mexico police. Speaking of cameras, it just occurs to me, I don't even know if I said this on this broadcast last week. Yes, I did. Forget it. I should listen to this show. Facebook spokesman Andrew Noyes apologized by email on behalf of Facebook for the removal of a post by Arizona Governor Jan Brewer that criticized President Obama's administration decision to limit deportation of illegal immigrants. On Friday, Brewer posted on her Facebook wall that after she posted a statement criticizing the administration's change, along with a photo, Facebook censored the post and removed it because the photo apparently violated their community standards. Now, Noyles said Facebook removed the post in error and was sorry. Brewer posted a triumphant "We won" note after the Facebook apology. Dateline Cairo, eager to head off a diplomatic crisis with the most important peace partner it has, Israel apologized to Egypt this week over the deaths of three Egyptian soldiers who were accidentally killed last week during an Israeli military incursion into the Sinai Peninsula. Israel deeply regrets the deaths of Egyptian security forces who were killed this week, said a statement. Deadline Washington, the International Security Assistance Force and U.S. Forces Afghanistan commander met this week with family members of Afghan civilians killed and injured during a July incident in the Nejrab district of Kapisa province. Marine Corps General John Allen expressed his sincere condolences and apologized to Afghan family members for their loss during the meeting at ISAF headquarters in Kabul. Allen said any civilian casualties are a tragedy and assured the families he would continue to make every effort to reduce civilian casualties. Just stay away from the drones, folks. Comedian Adam Carolla apologized soon after news spread about his transphobic. Haven't heard that one before. It means, according to this, fear of transgendered people. And homophobic rant on a recent episode of his podcast. "I'm sorry my comments were hurtful," Carolla said to TMZ. "I'm a comedian, not a politician." He made several jabs at transgender people during a recent podcast, prompting the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, GLAAD, to speak out against the host. Deadline Berlin, a German soccer club has apologized to an opposing team's fans after a high-frequency loudspeaker was used to drown out their singing during a game last week. In a statement on Hoffenheim's website, the Bundesliga club said one employee was responsible for producing the noise, described in his own words as a remedy to counteract abusive chants by Dortmund fans directed at the team's main financial backer, Dietmar Hopp. Hop, hop, hop. And on last Friday evening, the Twitter feed for the Compton, California rapper The Game sent out a message suggesting that his 580,000 followers call a phone number for an internship. The tweet gave no indication that the phone number was, in fact, the official helpline for the Compton station of the Sheriff's Department. For almost 3 hours, the station's lines were jammed with hundreds of calls blocking legitimate requests for help. Many callers asked deputies for a music internship. Initially, the sheriff's deputies said they would seek criminal charges and present a case to prosecutors, but legal experts doubted the tweet could be proved to be criminal. Now, The Game at first seemed less than contrite. He at one point criticized the sheriff's department, but on Wednesday he told CNN, "My sincerest apologies to the sheriff's department. It was a joke gone wrong. I never intended for anybody to take it the wrong way or for it to go this far, and just, you know, I think it's all nonsense. If my apology is not enough, I don't understand what else can be done." The rapper, who in the past has criticized snitches, stressed to CNN that a friend sent the tweet. Okay, you're off the hook. That sounds like you're so off the hook. And Gerard Depardieu, the French film actor, apologized for an incident on a plane this week where he was reported to have urinated on the plane. After the apology, the actor's friend who accompanied him, after the apology, the actor's friend who accompanied him on the flight explained what had really happened. But before that, Anderson Cooper, on his CNN news broadcast, delivered this essay based on the subject of Gerard Depardieu having been found to have urinated in his seat on a plane.
I thought there was no way it was real, but the airline CityJet confirmed it beyond any shadow of skepticism. And by that, I mean they vaguely tweeted about it. Quote, as you may have seen on the news, we are busy mopping the floor of one of our planes this morning. We'd also like to remind all passengers that our planes are fully equipped with toilet facilities. CityJet. I would have guessed he flies incontinental. Anyway, while the airline was busy putting the pee back in PR, some of the passengers just couldn't hold it anymore and started spilling their versions of the incident to the press. Can you blame them? They saw an actual thespian, actually thespian. It's full of puns. This probably won't come as a shock, but several passengers say Depardieu was, you guessed it, visibly drunk. But I think there's another explanation. See, as a celebrity, he's not accustomed to being told he can't do things he wants to do when he wants to do them. Things like going to the bathroom. No, he's probably used to being, pampered. I'd go as far as to say he depends on it. We'll put a graphic in case you didn't get the reference. Depends on it. But it's kind of sad when you think about it. This guy has been in hundreds of movies. Will he be remembered for Cyrano de Bergerac? Probably not. Will he be remembered for Green Card? Nope. This incident is likely to go down as his number one role. Although there is a bright side. Stop laughing. It's distracting. Now that we know he doesn't have any stage fright when it comes to public urination, maybe he can get together with his fellow castmates from La Vienna Rose and they can all have a pissing contest. You know, like a pee-off. Pee-off, because the movie was about Edith Pee-off. I said pee-off. So after Gerard took his little solo flight to Urination, the plane had to turn around and go back to the gate, and some unlucky cleaning crew had to deal with the Golden Globe winning tinkle. Now, all I can say is they should thank their lucky stars it wasn't Depardieu. Sorry. That made me giggle every time I read it. He hasn't commented on this incident. Depardieu. I know you got it, but...
Yeah, we got it. The friend of Depardieu said later this week that the actor has a prostate problem and had tried to avail himself of the facility but was told not during the time prior to takeoff. That was a fact that a news channel could have uncovered, but this was CNN. And here's the rest of Anderson's laughing fit, set to music.
This is CNN.
Actually, it never happened to me. Oh, see, this is really on YouTube, and you don't think. This is actually never happened to me. It's full of puns.
I said puns.
Oh. sorry.
People call it
friend that knows you, and I'd like to tell you that I think your laugh's a lie. Laughing boy, that's you laying in the meadow. Laughing boy, memories ought to make you cry. Days without you, no one wants to be without you. You'll find a way to help you play on. You won't pass the time alone. I'm your friend that knows you, and I'd like to tell you that I think your laugh's a lie. That knows you, and I'd like to tell you that I think your laugh's a lie.
This is Le Show. Now, here's Dick Cavett.
Clean, safe, too cheap to meet. Safe, cheap, too cheap to meet. Cheap, safe, too safe to meet. Safe, safe, too safe to meet.
I'm not Dick Cavett.
No, you're Addie the Atom, and this is news of our friend Addie.
No friend of yours.
He's so touchy. Namako mushrooms grown in the open air in Soma, a city about 25 miles north of the Fouque plant, were found to contain 9 times the legal limit of cesium, the local government said this week. Japan's farm ministry asked growers in Fouque Prefecture to refrain from harvesting mushrooms off raw wood left outside, according to NHK. the broadcaster. Japan may join a U.S.-led treaty under which governments agree to prevent excessive claims against other governments for compensation from nuclear accidents. Why would that be necessary? That's according to the Nikkei newspaper, without giving the source of the information. Levels of cesium-134 in seawater near Fuk rose to levels 30 times the allowed safety standards last month, according to tests performed by TEPCO. But don't sue us, bro. Don't sue us too much. Officials at Constellation Energy are investigating a leakage in a containment structure that caused the shutdown of the 9-mile point unit two reactor on Lake Ontario last weekend. The reactor remained shut down after a, quote, higher-than-normal leakage was discovered in the drywall. Higher-than-normal leakage. What's normal leakage in a nuclear plant? Wouldn't you? The incident was classified as an unusual event, the lowest level of nuclear power plant emergencies. The NRC spokesman says it appears the source of the leakage is a valve on a recirculation pump. Yes, the highest level of physics, and it's depending on, you know, plumbing, just good old-fashioned plumbing. The Japanese government and Tokyo Electric say the amount of radioactive material being emitted from the Fuk plant has dropped to one-fifth of that of a month ago. The state minister in charge of the nuclear crisis said the reading is just an estimate, however, because the exact emission levels cannot be accurately measured. So ignore the reassurance. The mixing system planned for the Hanford plant's high-level radioactive waste could wear out in only a few months rather than last the 40-year lifetime of the plant, according to a union official and Department of Energy documents. Despite the concerns raised in the documents, DOE gave Bechtel, its contractor for the vitrification plant, the go-ahead to complete fabrication of the plants that use the mixing system. A federal engineering review team found in late July that Bechtel's safety evaluation of key equipment at the $12 billion plant was incomplete and that the risks are more serious than Bechtel acknowledged when it sought approval to continue the construction. Owners of the Vermont Yankee nuclear power plant say the state may be overestimating the amount of radioactive tritium found in water samples taken from the Connecticut River. The Vermont Health Department announced the test results Wednesday, confirming for the first time that tritium leaking from the reactor had reached the river. The department said two samples taken from the river shoreline showed concentrations just above what is known as the minimum detectable amount. But New Orleans-based Entergy, owners of Vermont Yankee, issued a statement saying its testing of the same sample showed levels of tritium below the minimum detectable amount. The spokesman said he could not explain how the company was able to detect tritium at levels below the minimum detectable amount. It's an estimate, is my guess. My guess is it's an estimate, and my estimate is it's a guess. The Japanese Cabinet Office's Nuclear Safety Commission was able to summon only a handful of its 40 emergency advisors immediately after the Fuk accident. In an exclusive interview with a Japanese Mainichi newspaper, the chairman of the Office of Nuclear Safety Commission explained the body was unable to send emails to many advisors in the aftermath of the disaster. Other members were unable to come into the headquarters because transportation systems in Tokyo were paralyzed. As a result, the panel of 40 experts hardly fulfilled its role of giving expert advice to the government at the time of a major disaster. So when there's a disaster, don't call the experts. Call estimators. Japan is preparing to receive its first import of highly radioactive waste. Really? What? Since March, when an earthquake and tsunami, blah, blah, blah. The vessel Pacific Grebe set sail from Britain with more than 30 metric tons of radioactive waste on board. Its Japanese spent fuel reprocessed in the UK is returning sealed and stainless steel canisters. It will arrive early next month. So it's Japanese waste to begin with. It says a visiting professor at the University of Ulster School of Biomedical Sciences, storage of waste for thousands of years, quote, is a very big problem with no acceptable solution, and more waste is being produced every year. He studied Sweden's nuclear waste storage projects. They are supposed to be the best. But he says there's no solution yet. Scientists and doctors are calling for a new national policy in Japan that mandates the testing of food, soil, water, and the air for radioactivity still being emitted from the Fuke plant. How much radioactive materials have been released from the plant? Asked Dr. Tatsuhiko Kodama, and a professor at the Research Center for Advanced Science and Technology at the University of Tokyo. The government and TEPCO have not reported the total amount of the released radioactivity yet, he says. There's a widespread concern in Japan about a general lack of government monitoring for radiation, causing people to begin their own independent monitoring, which is also finding disturbingly high levels of radiation. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission this week cited XL. They excel. That's why it's called XL Energy for a safety violation at its Prairie Island, Minnesota nuclear power plant. It involved a safety-related battery charger that sometimes stopped working during tests that simulated losing power from off the site. Federal regulators deemed the violation to be of low to moderate safety significance, enough to result in additional Nuclear Regulatory Commission oversight of the plant. Nobody in the Nuclear and Industrial Safety Agency of Japan thought of notifying the governments of neighboring countries before water containing low levels of radiation at the Fuke plant was released into the sea. The foreign ministry also learned of the action only after being alerted by an official assigned to the TEPCO Accident Task Force who happened to see a TEPCO document. The revelations, according to the newspaper Mainichi, illustrate the lack of sense of crisis and problems involving the communication system between nuclear plant operators and government regulators on crucial information. The U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission has upheld its finding of a serious safety violation that will require increased inspection activities at the Browns Ferry nuclear plant in Alabama. This was TVA failing to quickly realize that an old valve was stuck. Employees discovered the problem when they tried to use the system to shut down the reactor for refueling. Those damn valves, those damn pipes. Japanese inspectors found the first case of radioactive contamination in rice, the national grain, this week, adding it to the list of foods harmed by the Fuke accident. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission here has launched a special inspection into a service water pump component failure last week at Palisades Nuclear Power Plant in Michigan. The plant is currently operating safely. This was an August 9th failure of a coupling that holds pipes together. We need to look at exactly what failed, says the NRC spokesperson Prima Chandratil. Clean. Does it make you feel good, Addie?
I feel great.
Okay. Clean, safe, cheap, too clean to vegan. Our friend, the Atom. Enjoy the warmth, won't you?
It's always warm where I am. I heat things up.
Excellent. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to read the trades for you. This is from Advertising Age. Madonna signs with Smirnoff. I'll read it for you. Madonna, who turned 53 this week, has inked a new global deal to endorse Smirnoff Vodka. She'll kick off her new partnership with an international contest in which fans of the vodka brand can vie to become a dancer on her next tour. The company that owns Smirnoff, Diageo, thinks she's timeless. She stands for originality, says Smirnoff's executive VP for global content and communications. Yes, a vodka has such an executive. She's always creating cultural movements, whether it's in dance or music or fashion. She is a trendsetter. Madonna is recognized by 98% of U.S. consumers, according to the marketing arm's Davy Brown Index, an independently conducted survey that marketers use to determine a celebrity's ability to influence consumer brand affinities. Her influence score just ranks number 478, putting her in the same neighborhood as Jada Pinkett Smith and Bette Midler. But none of that is stopping Madonna from being what Advertising Age called, and of course, you know, a lot of hip-hop artists are representing for vodka these days. I was in Cincinnati, and downtown is filled with what we in L.A. would call super graphics, but in Cincinnati, I'm sure they just call them giant billboards featuring hip-hop artists' photos, fashion photos of hip-hop artists and vodka. And the Smirnoff endorsing history goes back to Zsa Zsa Gabor and Woody Allen. So says Advertising Age. Madonna. Is the newest, quoting, celebrity booze endorser.
Oh, you've been selling some kind of glamour since 1986. Roughed up clothes, a coked up nose. Pull some Jacksons just to pay for private school. In the days gone by, you just get coarser and coarser. Now you're playing it smooth. You're a celebrity booze endorser. Oh, your demographics all grown up. They like the finer things. A Mercedes deal's not in the cards. Your DUI still clings. You're too cool to just push cell phones. Your clothing lines in arrears. But you can't live on ringtones or promoting foreign beers. There's no need to shout. You're tired of waking up hoarser. Now you're playing it smooth. Celebrity booze endorser. The bottles look so sexy. The white goods look so clean. The whole design has walked upstairs. It's a whole new day, a whole new fashion scene. Oh, your face is back on billboards on the other side of town. Your brand is aspirational. You're an up without a down. Folks with a drinking problem can read the teeny print. But you're late for a photo shoot and they're paying you a mint. If you were a god, you could look a little bit norser. Now you're playing it smooth.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, news of the News Corporation scandal, because there's no scandal like the news of a News Corporation of the Corporation of the News Corporation scandal. First, Rupert Murdoch has sold his sprawling cattle ranch in Carmel Valley, California. This isn't scandalous. It's just interesting because he said, his wife, new wife Wendy, didn't see it in her future portfolio. But he said in 2006, I feel completely relaxed here. Of the Carmel Valley Ranch. It's where we gather as a family. I use the ranch as a retreat to entertain my executive and senior team members. That's, I guess, his family. People appreciate that you entertain them in your home. You've still got to treat people right at the office, but they do appreciate coming here. Rupert Murdoch, you have to treat people right at the office. That's up on the wall there somewhere, isn't it? Really? Executives at Murdoch's UK-based News International concerned that emails discussing questionable payments made to police by News of the World may prove more problematic than those that discuss phone hacking. Sources familiar with well, no kidding. It's a police corruption scandal, ladies and gentlemen. They're growing concerned. This is Reuters reporting. They're growing concerns inside the company that evidence of questionable payments to police or other British public officials could fuel investigations by U.S. authorities into possible breaches of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, an American law that prohibits corrupt payments to foreign government officials. News Corp is an American company now. Meanwhile, Bloomberg reports that News Corp Chief Operating Officer Chase Carey is holding discussions with some large investors over governance of News Corp and other concerns. The California State Teachers Retirement System plans to meet with officials soon, sending letters, holding conference calls, and meeting with News Corporation management. The people with knowledge of the situation said, reflecting investor concern over succession plans for Rupert Murdoch, the use of capital and family control of the company in the wake of the scandal. The one of the independent board members, supposedly, involved in the investigation on behalf of News Corp, Viet Dinh, is so independent, he's the godson of Rupert Sun's son. The Los Angeles-based U.S. editor of the shuttered former Murdoch paper News of the World was arrested this week by police investigating the phone hacking scandal in the paper, becoming the first U.S.-based journalist arrested in the case. That's news of News Corp. It's not copyrighted, so don't steal it, Dick. And by steal, I mean borrow. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations over NPR worldwide throughout Europe. The USEN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz on the mighty 104 in Berlin, around the world via the internet at two different locations, live and archived whenever you want it, harryshearer.com and kcrw.com, available for smartphones through stitcher.com, available as a free podcast at kcrw.com. And it'd be just like estimates being as good as figures if you'd agree to join with me then. Would you already? Thank you very much. A typical show chapeau to the San Diego, Pittsburgh, Chicago, and Hawaii desks. Thanks, as always, to Pam Halstead. Thanks also to Jenny Lawson here at WWNO-FM for help with today's broadcast. The show is on Twitter at The Harry Shearer. Join the more than 42,000 followers? Is that possible? And The Big Uneasy is now digitally available everywhere. Information at TheBigUneasy.com. Watch the core in action. I said in action. I said puns. Ladies and gentlemen, the show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless. So long from New Orleans.